Hello, everyone. I'm Gorilla Monsoon.
And I'm your host, Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Oh, why don't you be serious? You're not the host, Brain.
Well, I should be.
Chris DeFrancesco is the host.
Chris DeFrancesco?
Yes, that's correct. Huh. I didn't stutter.
Didn't he get whacked in an episode of The Sopranos?
Oh, give me a break. He hosts a podcast, Brain.
Who the hell doesn't?
Well, his is about wrestling.
Who the hell's isn't?
He talks about old wrestling.
Wow. What a novel idea.
Oh, give me a break.
Next, you're going to tell me he's got a wrestling theme name for the show?
Well,
come on, Monsoon, spit it out.
It's the Hot Tag Wrestling Podcast.
So what?
And it's starting now.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Hot Tag Wrestling Show. I am Chris DeFrancesco. Dean Halsapple, George Rogers are here. This isn't a rerun or anything like that. We are here. We are recording this live Wednesday, April 10th. The Wednesday after the largest, the biggest WrestleMania of all time. I swear, I listened also to the press conference on YouTube with Triple H. If I had to take a shot of Terramana for each time I heard biggest WrestleMania of all time, I probably would be dead of alcohol poisoning within 20 minutes.
Well, you know something, Chris. You'd probably be drunk and dead like Gorilla Monsoon.
Already disrespecting Gorilla. It's unbelievable.
Hey, I love Gorilla. I met Gorilla when I was a kid.
I think that was more disrespecting to you than it was to Gorilla.
Probably is.
I think he was just making a comparison to our deal with the potted Gorilla.
They're hanging from the Raptors.
Gino.
What's going on, everyone? I really appreciate let's see. Since the last time George and I did a new episode of the Hot Tag, our Instagram has grown like 800%. And I don't know how, but it is. So I figured, you know what? What the hell? I like to thank Dwayne The Rock Johnson for really helping.
Rock the Dwayne Johnson?
Rock the I like to thank Rock the Dwayne Johnson for helping us all. And I think I can speak. I can't speak for George. George is 100% WWE and everything that they do. But I'll speak for Dean and I.
I am. You don't even acknowledge other companies.
I acknowledge the tribal chief, though.
That's true.
Same.
Dude, by the way,
Chris doesn't put his finger up because he's 8% Samoan. So he thinks that gives him credit.
Dude, did anybody see... Dude, every time they panned to Mama Rhodes, there was like those two fans behind her going up to her shoulder and holding up the one. Oh my God, it was the best.
The best part with her was when Michael Cole was like, she's a really classy individual, and they cut to her and she's like, that's bullshit.
I want to thank The Rock, man, for really reminding, I guess I'll speak mostly for Dean and I, reminding us just how one, just how great pro wrestling can still be, and two, that great storytelling can still actually be done. And I will say a lot of that, I think, is credit to not only The Rock. I think a lot of that goes to Paul Levesque or Triple H, who has really just... I think he's made a conscious effort along with Nick Khan and the rest of the new regime of WWE to nearly make anything that Vince McMahon did extinct. I really do believe they are just cycling out everything that George, they're considering themselves a pro wrestling company instead of a sports entertainment company now. This is incredible what we're seeing. I know there's now a name to it, whether it's the Paul Levesque era. We're hearing the Renaissance era, which is tremendous. That should be a t-shirt on WWE shop now, the Renaissance era. And, you know, it makes sense. You know, SmackDown's going to be on USA. Raw's going to be on Netflix, which is, as you know, was completely uncensored. And they have no restrictions.
And more global.
More global for sure. So I think
don't forget NXT is going to be on CW, so they're going to network TV.
That's right. So, you know, this is a,
which can only help their ratings. Not that ratings kind of matter anymore, but that can only help the ratings going on like a standard broadcast channel. Yeah,
for sure. You know, we really are. We've heard this before. I mean, we are on a legitimate crash course, or, you know, a crash course to a, a brand new era of wrestling. And I'll tell you what, if WrestleMania, if the build to WrestleMania is any indication of what we're going to get, man, you know, this is going to be a lot of fun for wrestling fans, you know, probably 18 to 50, you know? And I know you guys just did 2 hours on the Multiverse podcast on this. on this,
so, it did. No, like I'm not making that up.
I'll go all night, man.
Yeah, I bet you will.
Clanging and banging, brother.
Clanging and banging and trucking and fucking.
And I didn't hear. I only got like about a quarter of the way through your show. It was a conscious effort to not do that, only because I want fresh takes that I didn't already hear from you guys. So I figured I'll listen to this.
I change my mind all the time. So
and fresh takes.
That's absolutely and exactly fresh takes. So all right, I want to give everybody an idea of what's coming up on the hot tag. Here's what we got lined up for you in April. We have obviously tonight WrestleMania weekend review. We're gonna be basically kind of piggybacking or you know repairing the damage that the Bleacher Report did over the last 2 weeks with their top 20 of all time list. So we're going to.
I was like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah,
what
I know. Bleacher Report, though. So we're going to spread out in the course of two shows. We're going to do our top 20 wrestlers of all time. I can't believe I'm going to mention this name. It's going to spark both of you to leave. IGN just did their top like 30 wrestlers of all time.
I saw that one.
And that, I mean, look, I'll tell you what, George, it was way better than Bleacher Reports.
It was way better than Bleacher Reports, but I could talk to a homeless guy down the road and he'd give me a better list than Bleacher Reports.
I agree. So we're going to give those the top 20 wrestlers of all time list. So looking forward to that. And then we will probably end off April with Unforgiven in Your House from 1998, which was April 26th inside the Greensboro Coliseum. 21,000 people that night to see a hell of a pay-per-view, I think. Dude Love beat Stone Cold Steve Austin by disqualification. That was the Inferno match between Undertaker and Kane. New Age Outlaws against LOD 2000. Triple H, Owen Hart, like it was just a really good show. And we're gonna in 1998. We're gonna get that, and then into May, we're gonna get to the top five factions of all time. Then we're gonna go into No Mercy 1999, Backlash 2003, and what sparked a text convo between George and I earlier today. We're gonna break down Extreme Rules 2014. For those who don't remember that pay-per-view, Extreme Rules 2014 was the scene for a little old faction called The Shield versus, just another unknown faction called Evolution.
Never heard of them.
God, I hated that match.
So
was that Blue Tista?
That was not. Yes. That was Red Tista at the night.
Ah,
that night.
Red Tista.
was it? What was Blue Tista?
Blue Tista was. That might have been. That was before that. I'll have to remind myself when Blue Tista was. But it was an incredible match. I watched it last night again. And it sparked my to say this to George. We are already 10 years in to Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns on the main card. It's insane how fast time has gone by. We haven't rounded out June yet, but I know George sent me a bunch of options, and we're definitely going to do that. And I know Dean loves it. I'm really excited. We're going to talk about some WCW. And I'm excited to announce this. We are going to cover TNA pay-per-views from the early 2000s to right around like the 2010s.
Blue Tista was payback.
Got it. Payback. Okay.
That's the match I didn't like because it was like 30 minutes of the Shield gang beat the shit out of, and then they just won somehow. they just won.
Just like Palpatine.
Yeah. that's what's going to be coming up in the next two for the rest of April and into May. Thank you to everybody who's followed the hot tag now and everybody who's been practically begging me to talk about wrestling. So I appreciate the DMs. I appreciate the text to do this. And so I'm here. I give you what you want. It's people power, and I'm here.
Easy, Johnny Ace.
Yeah, I know. That's true. I gotta make sure that I had permission to.
Yeah, I know you're a victim like that, too, Johnny.
All right, so WrestleMania 40 just wrapped up this past Sunday in Philadelphia. I know you guys said, you know, it's still WrestleMania season. I think this upcoming Friday is officially probably the end of WrestleMania season. Once you get through Raw and SmackDown the following week, I feel like now you're pushing. You're preparing yourself for what's ahead for the summer. But my God, what a weekend! Our city, the city that us three have, you know, lived basically next to our whole lives, really, really showed out. And I think it still remains. I still rank Philadelphia as probably the second best city in the country for pro wrestling. I still have Chicago number one. I really do. I think Chicago is just a rabid, rabid fan base. But Philly, man, holy cow. WrestleMania 40, WrestleMania XL. Literally, from every single statistical metric you can bring up, broke records. Even Cody Rhodes broke merchandise records for WrestleMania 40. It broke WrestleMania 39's gate by 78%. WrestleMania 40's viewership was up 41% across both nights versus last year's record-setting audience on Peacock. I'm sure they love that. WWE World at WrestleMania is now the highest grossing and most attended fan event in company history. WrestleMania 40 became the most socially viewed WrestleMania of all time, with over 660 million views consumed over the 2 days. WWE's YouTube channel saw its most viewed day in channel history on WrestleMania XL Sunday with more than 67 million views in 24 hours. And, Dean was part of Friday night for SmackDown. Then you had Raw and NXT over WrestleMania weekend. All of them, every single show broke attendance and gate records. And it was just an unbelievable weekend for pro wrestling. It doesn't matter how much scrutiny surrounds this company and around pro wrestling itself with the Vince McMahon issue or this or that, the company continues to grow at a rapid, rapid pace. Even amidst the entire Vince McMahon thing, the company still sold for $9 billion. The company still signed a mega Netflix deal, a mega USA deal. I'm sure once the WWE Network deal with Peacock is up, I'm pretty certain NBC Universal is going to do whatever they possibly can to keep WWE putting up premium live events there. Because if they don't, I'm sure Amazon or Netflix are going to be beating down WWE's door to get the network.
Probably will be Netflix. Though I did hear that they were legitimately going to TNT, but that deal actually fell through. Like I heard that was legitimate.
But yeah, I think like the last hour it completely just changed. I think Netflix came in with just a juicier deal, but if that doesn't tell you the future of the other shithole, then, you know, we don't really know what else to.
They're going to be getting a big deal. They've been talking about it for, ever. So
yeah, I don't even know when that deal would be coming up.
It should be this year. I believe their current deal expires this year.
Yeah, okay. I think their current deal ends like towards the end of the year. So if they're trying to piece together something, it is Warner Brothers Discovery. They're not exactly in the business of making money these days. So, Chris, I have a pretty big metric here. I want to just kind of give up here. Now, on Monday night, we did have a final confrontation between Cody and The Rock for right now until The Rock comes back from his latest business venture that he's doing. That video alone on YouTube as of right now has 2.3 million views.
Yeah.
That one video.
Mm-hmm.
That is insane to me.
Yeah. And I'll say this too, also to kind of piggyback of what we've been seeing. Personally, in my opinion, I love the new Raw setup. It's in Madison Square Garden every week. It's got the small stage, and I love that fans are able to basically sit atop of it.
Yeah.
The interaction is tremendous. I love what they're doing. And I think Dean even might have said part of it last night in your podcast that, look, I mean, if you can fit another 4,000 people in that area and sell that building out from going from like 16 to 20,000 just by shortening how big the set is, go for it. Oh my God, it's incredible. It's like Attitude Era all over again, with like everywhere you look, there's people, there's fans.
Yeah. Chris, I don't even know if you've noticed, you know, just kind of like the little changes that have kind of been implemented since Triple H has kind of
absolutely
since the Vince regime has run out.
Yeah.
It is so much easier to watch these shows and these events now because the camera angles are fucking crisp.
Oh yeah, you're not hemorrhaging watching a match.
It's not like, yeah, like the camera angles are not jumping around every 5 minutes, Kevin Dunn. Like,
yeah,
it's set. And like, listen, I don't want to show any real disrespect to Kevin Dunn. I mean, he is respected in his field. However, in the world of wrestling, he is grossly not respected.
Yeah.
But as a director, yes, he is respected. Yeah. But
he's respected in that, but like every talent ever hates like that guy's guts.
Exactly. But like the way the camera shots are done now, they do like on sometimes they'll do like a long drawn out continuous shot. And like, there's little things going on in the background now that you pay attention to, that you have to pay attention to. It's like, oh, like what was going on back here? What's here? Like little Easter eggs are being popped in live.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree. I'm going to ask you before we start going down the matches really quick. Dean and George, I'll ask you, I know we talk about the rotation of WrestleMania, and I really want WWE to kind of be in that Super Bowl kind of rotation where they pick four or five cities and just rotate. I feel like after this past weekend, I think Philadelphia is absolutely a prime spot to be more often in that rotation.
You just got to worry about the weather, just like in MetLife, because you always run the risk of it being cold.
Yeah, but, which Saturday was awful.
Yeah, but then again, you saw on Sunday how alive the crowd was when they were freezing.
Yeah, I know. Sunday night too was also perfect. But we'll definitely get into that. But you guys, when would you probably see WrestleMania 40? I doubt we're definitely not going to be waiting 15 years or 25 years to get another WrestleMania.
No, I doubt it.
Do you think this being like an every 5 year thing?
It depends, because we share the same region as MetLife.
Yeah.
So I do think they'll circle back. Like we were texting too. They'll probably circle back to MetLife first and then come here. But if we're not going to wait 25 years again. I say that much. Mm-hmm. I think it's wild that in 40 WrestleManias, Philly's only hosted two of them.
I heard you guys say, yes, we had the two in Atlantic City, but
those are four and five. So,
I also remember, wasn't part of WrestleMania 2 taped in the Spectrum?
No.
LA, Chicago, and Garden, wasn't it?
Was it? It was those three? Okay.
I thought it was LA, Chicago, and Boston.
Maybe.
Maybe it was, you know, it might have been Boston.
It might have been Boston Garden.
Okay. All right. All right, let's kind of I do think Philadelphia is going to be in the rotation. I think they absolutely have to be.
It was the Nassau Coliseum, Chicago, which I believe at the time was the Continental Airlines Arena, and then the Forum.
Got it. Okay. I thought the Cal Palace.
I will say,
sure.
If I'm playing out spots for WrestleMania, I would just look at how much money each area made before making a decision. Like, I know like MetLife always kind of gets in a rotation because it does take the New York area, but Philly is close enough to New York. You can still get those people in.
Yeah.
And having it in the city, there's much more to do in Philadelphia than there is in East Rutherford. without having to spend $20 to drive into New York City and be sitting in traffic for.
Well, they might bring it back around here because, like, we talked about it before. I mean, MetLife hosted 29, and then they hosted what was 35.
I was there. Yeah.
So that was only a few years later that they went back to MetLife. So. Yep. And New Orleans hosted 30 and 34. So, I mean, they could turn around in a couple of years and be like, Philly was great. Let's bring it back to them right away.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to Minnesota next year. That's all but confirmed. And I'm pretty sure the guy I heard
say that is such a terrible spot.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do there.
Yeah. And then I heard that Vegas is going to be 42.
That's going to set records that – might not ever get smashed.
Yeah.
That's
plenty to do in Vegas.
Shit, I would
plenty.
I would definitely bring it back to Philly, or at the minimum MetLife, like no later than 45.
Yeah. I agree. So yeah, within 5 years it should be in the area again. All right, so let's go over WrestleMania here. Night one. So to kind of probably be the opposite of these two guys. I thought, and I watched it again, I thought night one was a 100% one match show. I gave it a 6 out of 10 after my first viewing. The main event was so good. I don't think I can lower my score, but if the main event wasn't as great and perfection that it was, this is like a 3 out of 10. Show for me. I really didn't like it. Yeah. So the opener, Rhea Ripley versus Becky went one. I think it just went too long. 17 minutes of Becky Lynch is really difficult for me to withstand. I'm happy. I'm thrilled that Rhea Ripley won. So that got some bonus points in my book because I thought for sure, you know, the way Becky was being pushed, her new book just came out. I thought for sure they're going to strap that title back on her. But I'm really happy that they got it back on Becky. Kept it on Rhea Ripley. The next match was fun because of R-Truth, and that's really it. It was fun to see R-Truth get his moment in the sun. But I'm over the New Day, the new Catch Republic. I like Tyler Bate, but that's it. And I think Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, if they got released today, I would never even know that they were even hired to begin with. Like it's a joke to me that Austin Theory has a WrestleMania victory over John Cena. It just really bothers me.
That's right. He does.
Yeah.
What year was that?
That was last year.
To Pat McAfee.
That's right. Oh, 2 years ago. That was when Austin came in and stunned him, and he jumped to the top of the AT&T Stadium.
Almost as good as Scott Hall's.
Almost as good as Scott Hall's. So then you had Rey Mysterio and Andrade defeating Santos Escobar, Dirty Dominic Mysterio by pinfall. Look, it was a cool moment because you got Jason Kelsey and Lane Johnson make their way in at the end. But other than that, I mean, it was okay. I mean, Andrade's a stud. Andrade is really good. Dominic Mysterio is very good. I just don't know why it was on the show. But that was 11 minutes and 5 seconds. I thought that was pretty good.
Do you mind if I cut you off real fast?
Yeah, go ahead. Go.
So that backstage footage got released, and it went down exactly like CM Punk said it did.
So then what was the why release?
Wait a minute. So they legitimately wasted TV time showing a man from another company.
Yeah.
This reminds me of that time that I was watching Cheers and they decided to cut over to Golden Girls for 5 minutes and then went back to the show. Oh, wait, that didn't fucking happen because you don't do that.
Yeah, it went down exactly like the way Punk did. Actually, it makes Punk look like a badass because he lays Jungle Boy out.
Well, you say he just choked him a little bit.
No, he definitely fucking cold cocked him. And then when he was on the ground, he put him in a headlock. it went down exactly like the way he said it. Then I don't know what the goal was. So, but I figured they just dropped it.
Can't wait for Conrad Thompson to blow them about it and be like, "Oh, how courageous of them!"
And from what we've been hearing, I don't mean to segue off of this, Chris. I know we're talking about a better company, but Conrad is the only person who had anything even remotely positive to say about this footage possibly being released. Yeah. Everybody across the board was like, "Don't do this. What are you doing?"
They're getting eviscerated on social media right now, by the way.
Even JD from New York, and I really don't like him, but he was right.
Yeah, anyway, I can't wait.
Back to a company that makes money.
I'm sorry, Chris.
It's okay. All right. So the most disappointing match of the entire weekend, honestly, to me, and I shouldn't have been disappointed because it's never really worked. It's worked, I think, one other time in company history, and that was with Brett versus Owen at WrestleMania 10. They had another match, too. I forget where it was. It was a cage match. That was amazing. But
I don't remember where that was at, but that's a great match.
I loved it because it was Brett had that splattered suit on, the black with the splattered white on it.
Yes.
And I'll never forget. It's one of my favorites of all times. Like one of my I love it. So Jimmy and Jey Uso squared off here. They went 11 minutes, and it was hard to like watch in terms of why are these two wrestling? Like why? It was supposed to be really good because look, they both can go. I like Jey Uso a lot. I think he's a really good singles competitor, just as good as, if not better, as a tag guy. But boy, this was tough, man. This was very disappointing. George and Dean, I'll let you guys interject now after I just talked for a little bit. George, I'll start with you. What were your hopes for Jimmy and Jey, and did it deliver at all for you?
Here's the thing, and I mentioned this on Multiverse Movie Podcast, which you can find on any podcasting site, but for a quick pop there, sorry.
Okay.
But the thing that really killed it for me with this match was Jimmy Uso, because there is nothing to him. He has, like, no connection with the crowd. He's got no catchphrase. He's got nothing. He's horrible on the stick. He's mediocre in the ring. That match literally showed me that Jey Uso is the quote unquote Shawn Michaels of that tag team. Jey has it all. Jey can deliver on the mic. He can deliver on the ring. He can connect with the crowd. Jimmy cannot connect with the crowd. He's just a bloodline stooge. There's nothing to him, unfortunately. And that's why I think this match didn't hit, is because the story they told didn't work. We all knew Jey was going to win.
Yeah.
Like, they could have done this to Raw afterwards, honestly. But good for Jimmy for getting Jimmy looked good. And like the match looked good, but it was just, it's mind-blowingly forgettable.
I agree.
I don't remember whose breakdown I was listening to. And they summed it up perfectly, that it seemed like they were waiting for the crowd to get into it to kind of follow the feel of the building, and they never got into the match. So they were just like, okay, let's just get this over with. Because it just seemed very formulaic, and way too many super kicks.
I'm so done. I'm done.
If that move got banned, like the pile driver, I would be happy.
I think I'd be okay.
Because that move is ruined.
Yeah.
And along with the Canadian Destroyer.
Exactly. I was going to say, it's now on the Canadian Destroyer level.
Yeah. Everybody does it. And it's okay. It's okay to have that move in your repertoire, but to literally do it, like, they're acting like I did in my wrestling games because the super kick was such a great maneuver to do instead of punching your opponent. Like, that's exactly what it was. That's what exactly. So I would do like 50 super kicks in a row, finisher, and I'd win the match. Like, that's exactly how I'd get through a lot of the stuff in the wrestling games. That's exactly what it seems like. But hey, Jay's over as hell, man. Crowd was popping when he came out on Friday night, and the crowd always pops for him, right? Jey is the one that does Yeet, right?
Yes.
I always get them confused because they're twins. So, but the match disappointed me. And I said in our show too, like, I could have done anything else but watch that match. In fact, I think I did. I'm pretty sure I was playing Marvel Snap.
It's just, yeah, like I said, I was just disappointed. I was just watching some of that footage from that was just released. Like, I forget what Punk said, Jungle Boy said to him, but still, he deserved to probably be put through a wall at that point and sent from wrestling forever.
I like how they thought this would backfire on him.
That's what's hilarious.
I think it's funny that they thought this was going to be a win for them, and it's blowing up in their face because it's exactly how Punk said it went.
Yeah, it was.
No reason to lie.
I was expecting them to be like, "Oh yeah, here's the clip," and then Punk's pulling a fucking gun out and shooting people. Like,
yeah, pulls a Brian Pillman.
he just literally. That'd be like me going like, "Oh, I got this footage of George punching our friend Kevin in the face," and it's exactly how George said it happened. It's just okay. And
yeah,
idiots love it. Keep failing.
He has no reason to lie because he knows there's footage. So why would he lie about it?
A lot of people thought that the footage was really just going to be something to kind of to further along the feud between the Young Bucks and FTR. And that's what I thought was going to be. I didn't think they would actually show the legit footage. Kiss your fucking streaming deal goodbye with WBD because now they see who's running that show. David Zaslav's like, well, I'm losing money enough already, so let's try to put a band-aid on this to get rid of this joke of a company. They'll go to Access with TNA.
next match was Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi. Just that was kind of a squash match against Damage Control, Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. 8 minutes and 5 seconds. This was basically a match to get to the final couple minutes to showcase Jade Cargill, which was fine. It did exactly what it set out to do. I thought that the couple times that Bianca was in there, she was incredible. But I think this was to showcase, hands down, this was to showcase Jay Cargill. And it did exactly what it was supposed to do. So good on them for that. But again, it was just something that was forgettable. And then here we go with the semi-main of night one. Sami Zayn defeats Gunther to end his legendary reign as Intercontinental Champion at 15 and a half minutes. Look, I mean, let's just be real here. I mean, this was the Brock Lesnar spot. This was supposed to be Brock versus Gunther for the IC title where Gunther was going to go over. And guess what? Gunther still should have went over at WrestleMania and kept that title. Unless there's bigger plans for him in the next couple weeks, we'll know. I don't know for sure, so we'll see. But again, as I sit here right now on April 10th, I think the decision went the wrong way. I think Gunther should have continued his reign. What did you guys think?
I love the match. I think Gunther is a hell of a fucking worker. One of the top five in the company right now when it comes to putting on a match and just work rate. Sami Zayn, always great in the ring. I mean, he had a moment last year and he got a moment this year too. I don't mind him taking the IC title for Gunther because it really kind of had to happen at some point. But I do think there probably is some bigger plans for Gunther coming down the line because they have so many shows that are going to be over in Europe. Like they have a show in Germany. Backlash is going to be in France. So, I mean, there's a lot that they're going to be doing over in Europe where they can put Gunther in like a main event spot where he can face like Drew McIntyre. Or he can face some top guys. Maybe Seth comes back a little early from his him being away and you get Seth and Gunther throwing on like a 10-star clinic somewhere. It's gonna I think they're gonna move him up to the main event spot. And I think I've been told Dean, and I don't 100% remember because we did talk for a while, but I'd have Gunther win the money. Yeah, I did say I'd have Gunther win the money in the bank.
Yeah,
just have him just have him show up just randomly, not doing anything, but just letting the champ know I'm in the building. I can cash this in whenever I want.
Yeah. But actually, what's in his briefcase is actually knee pads that he's supposed to be wearing.
Yeah, I mean, so I kind of with and you, Apollo, I think you could, I think you'll probably see Gunther win the Money in the Bank. So I guess that's where we're heading towards. But still, I still don't like the ending here. He could win the Money in the Bank and still be Intercontinental Champion. If anything, it just makes him significantly more prestigious.
I think I think what could be happening is I wouldn't be surprised if Brock returns.
I agree. At some point, I think that, maybe that's the SummerSlam match.
Yeah, I think after what Triple H said the other night, like, if there was really some sort of true heat with Lesnar with the whole Vince thing, he probably would have said, I can't answer that question. But the fact that he kind of alluded to, like, hey, Brock's just being Brock, I think that means that he's just lying low for a little bit until they realize that nothing really happened with Brock except for, you know, some text messages.
I mean, if there was any real threat or issue with it, then they wouldn't have allowed Paul to mention him at the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Probably.
Because they would have been like, all right, just, you know, allude to him. No, just say you were the advocate and we'll know who you're talking about. You don't need to say his name, because I don't remember Vinnie Mac's name being mentioned once.
It's not allowed. Yeah.
Yeah. So it would have been the same thing.
All right. So here is the main event of night one. It's what mostly everybody was tuning in for.
Sure.
You have the Bloodline, which was The Rock and Roman, with the Wise Man defeating Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins by pinfall after 44 minutes and 35 seconds. The stipulations were had Rhodes and Rollins won, all members of the Bloodline would have been barred from ringside during the championship match on Sunday. However, if Rock and Roman won, it would be Bloodline rules, which is no rules, no disqualifications on night two for that main event. Rock pins Cody at the end after a rock bottom and people's elbow. Holy moly, dude, I had this blew away every single one of my wildest expectations, strictly from the Rock standpoint. He, one, looked amazing. Two, didn't gas out one time. He was just on top of his game, man. And it was so much fun watching him do his thing and tell an incredible story, or continue the story that he's been building here, since January. I just have no words. I thought the match, which was produced by Michael Hayes and Bobby Roode, I thought the match went absolutely perfect, like just perfect. I couldn't have scripted, no pun intended, I could not have scripted a better formula for the entire match from start to finish. I loved the entrances were so epic. I know people sometimes hate on Seth Rollins, but I think Seth was the class of the weekend. In terms of everything that he did was just professional wrestling storytelling 101. The Rock's entrance was just phenomenal. Roman Reigns' entrance just seemed like, you know what? I'm the biggest shit in this company, man. And that's what it's going to be. I'll ask you, George, and then I'll go to Dean. I didn't hear your thoughts on the main event, so I'm going to hear them now. George, your thoughts, man, on main event night one.
It was everything I could have hoped. Rock looked really good, and I was worried about how he was going to look, because when he came back earlier this year and had that little scuffle with Jinder, he was fucking winded bad.
Mm-hmm. He was blown up by the time he got to the ring.
So I was worried that he was going to be sucking wind and looking bad, but I mean, he was a true fucking professional, and it was the match was so good. I mean, I had like some fuckery with it, especially when the ref was trying to count them out, and the Rock looked at me, goes, "Don't fuck around. You count out, I'll fire you." And then, like, even when they hit the low blow and the ref kind of looked and he's like, sorry, I can't do anything. Like, I'm going to be fired if I ring the bell. Like, it was so good.
Yeah. I thought the Rock looked incredible for his age. I mean, what is he, like 52?
52.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like he knows his limitations now in the ring. Again, I'm, these aren't my words. These were somebody else's, and I wish I could remember who it was. And they said that it seemed The Rock got injured in both matches against Cena 10 years ago because he was trying to be The Rock of old and didn't realize that he'd been out. You know, maybe he wasn't like, I could still do it. And he got hurt in both matches. This time he probably realized, I got to change my style a little bit, right? Can't be, you know, doing cross bodies off the top rope, even though he rarely does it, but he would do it every once in a while and stuff like that. And I think he was a little more heelish in his wrestling style, a little more brutish, you know what I mean? Opposed to stuff and stuff like that. And was just, he did his whole part perfectly. And I couldn't have been more happier to see that. Even when he slipped, when he low blowed, was it Seth he did it to? And he his foot slipped out from under him and he fell back into the face first into the middle turnbuckle. He like played it off like it was nothing. And yeah, I thought he looked great. And it was funny. I said to George the other day, I think I said it on our show last night, actually, when he came out and he had those track pant bell bottoms on. And me and George both looked at each other. We're like, oh God, is he wrestling in pants and trousers? Mm-hmm. Is he trouser Sting at this point? And because Sting has like scarred us.
Yeah.
To thinking that every old wrestler is just going to wrestle in like trousers. Because George did the same thing with AJ Styles too. He's like, oh my God, is he wearing trousers? And I was like, no, The Rock's legs are still huge. He's wearing his Speedos. There's no way.
He looked amazing. Just amazing. He's on that good TRT, man. So good for him.
Roman looked physically incredible this weekend.
I said it so many times. Dude, I'm telling you, that was the best Roman has ever looked. Ever.
Yeah, he looked incredible.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. So yeah, I mean, that match pretty much ended the way most wrestling fans thought that the Bloodline was going to get that win, because what you want to do is just stack as many odds as you can against that babyface for Sunday. So let's get to Sunday night two. First match of the night, man, Drew McIntyre defeats Seth freaking Rollins for the for a singles match for the World Heavyweight Championship at the 10 and a half minutes. I thought wrestling wise, this was the best match of the night. For these two, I mean, God, Seth just won't stop. And I'm going to keep giving him his flowers because he deserves it. I'm glad I'm seeing him getting him all over the internet. He just incredible match. It was really awesome to see Drew McIntyre get that win. I wasn't necessarily happy with Damian Priest cashing in, but I'm super happy for him. Maybe it's because, and we don't know for certain, I'm assuming since Drew has not signed a new deal yet, that they weren't going to just, you know, slap the WWE World Heavyweight title on him right now. But overall, I just thought it was a great match. And then Damian Priest comes right in because after the win, all Drew McIntyre cared about was, I'm going to taunt CM Punk. CM Punk beats him down a little bit. Out comes Damian Priest, hits his version of the Rock Bottom, and then pins Drew McIntyre 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring, cashing in his Money in the Bank briefcase. George, what was your thoughts?
I enjoyed the match, and I mentioned this when we reviewed. The one aspect of this match that I really didn't like was that I think the second to last Claymore that Drew hit and Seth kicked out of it, only for Drew to do another Claymore 5 seconds later. And that did work. It's like, that didn't do anything. You should have just did it after the one. Him getting back up and doing like the oh, come on, that did nothing. I was like, this seemed like a waste of 5 seconds, but whatever, it filled time. But I still loved the look on Punk's face when Damian Priest's music hit, because it was like, for a second he didn't know what the music was, and then he's like, oh, that's right, and then he starts smiling because he knew what was going to happen.
Yeah. How about you, Dean?
I mean, in the tip, any Drew McIntyre and any Seth Rollins match, I thought it was fantastic. I mean, I have my gripe with Seth Rollins, but I won't deny the fact that he is an incredible worker. And he sold his ass off in this match. I did think it was a little ridiculous that it took 4 Claymores to beat him. Because I'm really about like protecting finishers.
The finishers in this world, they're done.
Yeah, and it's really like the arc, like somebody kicked out of the RKO in yes. the triple threat, and me and George looked at each other like, what? Like, nobody kicks out of the RKO. Like, that's the most protective finisher in the company probably at this point. And so the two I could understand kicking out of the first one, you know, when he kind of sneak attacked him. Like, that's fine. I get that. You know what I mean? They're not, you know, I would have been fine if it was a squash match. I think that would have worked with, you know, Rollins being beaten up. He wrestled the night before and this, that, and the other. And I think that would have worked. But, like, I'm okay with him kicking out of the first one. But it should not have taken more than two. Like, when Drew hit that second one, it should have been over. It should have been
I agree. Match. I agree.
But, hey, it was a good match. Or it was a great match. And I'm really, really happy with... I would have been happy with Drew keeping the belt because I'm a big fan of Drew McIntyre. And I'm fairly positive he's going to resign. I'd be shocked if he left. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I'd be shocked. Was he going to go to fucking AEW in front of 1,000 fans?
Yeah, listen, they're all saying, hey, it's a smart choice for him to go there, sure. even though he's literally at the top heel in the company right now. But, yeah, go somewhere else where you'll be on TV for 2 weeks and then disappear for the next five.
Yeah.
And then it'll be just like with Miro, where we're like, hey, guys, where's Miro?
Yeah. Because personally, I think he's going to go over Punk in their feud. And I think he's going to be Priest at Clash the Castle.
Just an FYI, if that's where Drew McIntyre wants to go, the average ticket sales for WWE shows and AEW shows in the first quarter of 2024, excluding pay-per-views, WWE Raw, 13,410. WWE SmackDown 12,890, AEW Dynamite 3,310, and AEW Collision 2,930. So,
all right, so the close. Smart money We're is close. To yeah, it's I mean it's damn near neck and neck, Chris. I don't it's, even yeah. I don't even
listen, it's right there.
Damn near neck and neck.
Listen, I'll believe the numbers when they come from a reliable source, like a good old Tuna Meltzer.
Like Mave Deltzer.
Mave Deltzer.
I'm digging the Punk McIntyre feud. I'm really digging it. I think McIntyre kind of being a little obsessed with Punk, like kind of really playing off how hateful he is towards Punk. Because I said it last night on our show, like everybody thought that it was going to be Rollins and Punk, that like Rollins was going to be all like, I fucking hate this guy and stuff like that. But to be somebody else, I think it's working really well.
Yeah.
Because Drew is a heel and he works incredible as a heel, where Rollins should be a heel, but he's so over nobody's going to boo him right now. So I think it's going to work really well.
Next match, the Pride, so terrible. Bobby Lashley, Angelo Dawkins, and Montez Ford. Ford defeated the Final Testament, even worse. Karrion Kross, is it Akaman Razor?
Akaman
Razor, okay. By pinfall, Philadelphia street fight with Bubba Ray Dudley getting a nice pop.
Looking like Alex Jones.
after 8 minutes and 35 seconds with Snoop Dogg on commentary, he wasn't that bad. He was pretty decent on commentary.
We forgot to even talk about this when we did it last night because I had forgotten about it, but I remember when they went to the ring to grab a table and Snoop Dogg starts to act like Yogi Bear. He's like, hey, boo-boo, got a picnic table. And I looked over at Dean and he was like, what?
It was so good. The Pride got the win on this one after 8 minutes and 35 seconds. Was what it was. I thought that was the worst match of the entire card that night.
I had mentioned to Dean, I think that match would have been better if it would have just been Lashley against Karrion Kross.
I agree. Yeah.
Make it a one-on-one. I mean, I know, everyone gets a WrestleMania payday and it's all well and good for everybody, but I think match wise, it would have been better as a one-on-one.
I agree. Next match here was just, I thought, really good. LA Knight defeats AJ Styles after 12 minutes and 25 seconds. I wanted to see AJ get the win here because I think he deserves it. But overall, man, that, you know, again, if there's one thing I can criticize the WWE for is in terms of promotions, they promoted two matches, and that was the main event of Saturday, the main event of Sunday. I thought that AJ and LA Knight did a great job promoting their match via whether it's their appearances at the World, the little brawls that they did, you know, at AJ Styles' house. You know, this was a match that I feel like people actually were like, oh, yeah, there's a pretty good story going into this one.
This match has been building ever since AJ came back.
Right. And I thought it was a really good match, man. AJ put on a hell of a show, really helped LA Knight kind of go to finishing school here. So it was great to see that match as well. So, yeah, LA Knight got the win there. Next match is Logan Paul, a triple threat match for his WWE United States Championship. Logan Paul coming in as the incumbent champ retains the title, defeating Kevin Owens and Randy Orton by pinfall after 17 minutes and 40 seconds. George, Dean, I don't know. I mean, we're, 2 years into the Logan Paul experiment, and I can't say a single bad thing about the guy's performances. He's unbelievable.
I really, want to hate him. Because right. I kind of hate when a celebrity comes in. It's the Ronda Rousey effect. That's kind of what soured me from
it. Except Logan Paul's good.
That's the thing. Correct. She came in, was handed the world. Now she's bitching about everything. She was literally given the keys to the kingdom and didn't have to work for it. But Logan Paul came in. He puts in the time in training. He's generally well-liked backstage. The guy puts on an amazing performance when he's in the ring. It's hard to hate him. I mean, I hate him because he's a heel and I want the faces to win, but he doesn't have go away heat. He has heel heat like Dom.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. And I thought Orton and Kevin Owens were really good. Orton was spectacular. But yeah, Logan Paul, I mean, 17, just about 18 minutes retained the title. That was a great job, and I loved whatever that really big time tool I show speed or whatever, the Prime outfit, who just kept dropping F-bombs at Randy Orton and then, you know, gets kicked down and then RKO'd on the table. That was a good little moment. That was fun. All right, let's move on here. And what I thought was pretty close to being the match of the weekend. Bayley versus Io Sky for the SmackDown for the Women's Championship. Bayley gets her big win at 14 minutes and 20 seconds. The crowd was into this from start to finish. You don't see that often with women's matches, but, you know, as she deserves, Bayley just has an incredible following, a really loyal fan base. Io Sky is spectacular. She really is. So what was your thoughts on this one, George?
I mean, I told you when we were talking earlier, I think Bayley is the total package when it comes to women's wrestlers. I know Bianca is your number one, but Bayley has it all. She's great at everything that she does. And this match, it was great for her to get like a title win at WrestleMania and like get her moment. It was such a feel good moment. And the story with her and EO and Damage Control, it's been building just for months and months. And I even told you, back in the fall, I was like, I think Bayley's going to win the Royal Rumble and then face EO at WrestleMania for the
title. You did. You were right.
And it was exactly what happened. And it didn't feel like it was predictable, like how some of the matches used to be under the old guy. But like, this was predictable, but the story made you want to be invested in it.
Right.
It made you want to see the match.
I agree. Dean, I know you're not a huge fan of women's wrestling. Neither am I, except for the most part. What was your thoughts on this one?
I thought it was a great match. I think Bayley is so deserving of that title. Mm-hmm. And I've really become I've never disliked Bayley.
Yeah.
There was a time where I thought she got a little annoying.
Yeah.
But she always, I use the term on our show that she kind of reminds me a lot of Chris Jericho in a way, because Jericho was always able to reinvent himself.
Yeah.
And Bayley has done that since she's been with the main roster. Yeah. Unlike Becky and Charlotte, who are just stale.
Yeah.
You know, there's just the same characters over and over. Like Charlotte's going to come back. She's going to cut the same promo, do the same moves. It's going to be the same thing. Mm-hmm. Bayley is always kind of evolving you know, every few years. Yeah. And I'm such a huge fan of her now. And her elbow drop is picture perfect.
Oh, it's so good.
And it was so good. She landed that perfect.
Dude, that was a stiff drop. That was, that was a stiff landing there. Good for her. Lay that shit in.
Yeah, she, she dropped a perfect elbow, and I was really happy to see her win. I was hoping she would, I figured she would win, but I'm happy for that. It was a really good match too. It's not that I dislike women's wrestling. I just, because for a while, I mean, we had to deal with Ronda and just Charlotte and Becky just rammed down our throats. I just lost interest in it. You know what I mean? It's just the same shit over and over again. But now that, you know, they have a lot of good women talent, and I'm glad that, like, Bayley being champ again for the first time in a few years is nice and fresh. I like it.
I agree. All right, let's get to let's get to the main event here. What, 2 years, man? It's been 2 years. You've been waiting for this finish. And here we are. Cody Rhodes defeats the Tribal Chief, ending one of the most historic runs in wrestling history. 1,316 days, 33 minutes and 25 seconds. I mean, we had appearances from John Cena. We had The Undertaker, who, you know, I guess assumingly showed up in the Austin spot, but still, it was amazing to see Undertaker. The second time around, it was amazing to see Undertaker. The first time we're watching it, we're like, ah, we were really expecting the glass to break at that moment.
I was the same way. Like, I even said to George, I texted you guys. I was like, I'm kind of like seeing Taker, it doesn't do much for me anymore. Like, I still love Taker, but it's just like, okay, like, you're a retired wrestler, dude. Like, I mean, you know, and you're fresh, right? You just retired and you kind of popped up. Like, Austin popping up with the backstory of him and Rock was just tailor made. But you'd have to assume that at some point Austin will get involved some way, shape, or form in some match. You'll hear that glass break and you'll get Rock's doing the greatest stunner sell of all time. But just like you said, Chris, when it first happened, I was kind of like, I was let down. That's how I felt. I was let down. I was like, oh my God, like, that's it. Like, that's how it's not, there's no Austin.
It didn't live up to our expectations.
Right. But then when I watched it again the next day, I was like, that's perfect. Like, it's without the expectation of Austin. I was like, yep, fucking love it. Taker's here. Cool. Awesome.
You know what was great about it was Michael Cole selling it. Because when the gong went off, Michael Cole just screams, "Holy Christ!" Like, yeah.
Oh, that was so good. I laughed so hard. But man, what a great wrestling match. It was phenomenal. I mean, we did see we saw like 18 crossroads, 8 spears. I mean, it was just nonstop. I really loved, and I'm so happy that there was a lot of people, and I was able to explain it, you know, to my wife, why Seth Rollins came out dressed as the Shield. And it was just the most beautiful storytelling I've seen, and other than The Rock. And if, I mean, I'm sure you guys know what it goes back to, correct?
Yes.
The promo in February. And I just thought it was amazing, man. What it did was it, you know, from a work perspective, it drew the attention away from Roman finishing off Cody Rhodes, and Cody was that, Seth was that Shield, and it helped Cody regain steam and take care of business. But
and what's really great about it was the fact that Seth knew exactly what he had to do to trigger Roman, and the Shield music and him dressing up in the Shield attire. That was it.
Yep.
Because Seth didn't even get a shot off when he got in the ring. Roman knew what was coming.
Roman murdered him.
Yeah, he sold that Superman punch better than he sold the damn Claymores.
I know.
He was out cold through that whole run. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden he got up and got a chair shot to the back. That was great, especially rewatching it. And he just falls like a sack of potatoes, too. He wasn't even like, I'm selling it.
He
just
sold it the crumbled. Same way that Roman sold the chair shot.
It was so good, man. It was.
No, I mean, when he took the Superman punch, he just dropped. It was great.
Yeah. I mean, the ending was tremendous. You got the pinfall, 1, 2, 3 in the middle. And man, like part of me, just a small part of me wishes, man, I wish Roman would have actually retained the title a little bit. Same. Right. So,
because the run was so good for like three quarters of it. It was so good. So well booked. He was, he carried the company on his back for 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, and Heyman was just, he was just in God mode in his manager, managing.
Yeah.
And like, it all, like, to me, it all culminated like when he, when Roman came out, like that entrance was epic.
It really was. Like,
it was, he comes out and he's ripped to shreds. I've never seen anybody's arms that defined. And he, like, just, he knew he's a god. He's walking out and he's a walking god to the ring. He's hasn't been pinned in a solo match in 4 years. There's nobody beating it. Well, I mean, obviously he did lose, but I'm just saying, like, he, it's just, that's how Roman needs to be booked. All this is the right way to book him.
Yeah.
Not suffering succotash. Yes. You know, let's beat up a hobbled Undertaker. This is how you book Roman.
Yeah, no more the big dog bullshit. No. Thank God.
Tribal chief.
Forgetting his promos and having John Cena just destroy him in the middle of the ring on live.
So, that's not happening anymore, thank God. But, I'm excited to see what's next for Roman. The rumor is he's out until SummerSlam. Good for him. I know Seth is going to be out for a month. But look, you know, this match, this pay-per-view ended like 40 minutes early. So it was – it was still, you know, the main event was amazing. The crowd was hype all night long for night two. And can we all agree that Seth Rollins on night two had the best entrance of the entire weekend?
I guess. I don't like the mummers. I never liked the mummers.
I don't either, but I thought it was really awesome. It spoke to where they were. Like globally, it put our area on the map.
Well, if the mummers didn't put down the map of where this took place, everyone's attire did, because everyone had fucking Eagles green woven into their damn tights.
I still think
Rock's and Roman's was better, just because Roman's was like epic. That's like I just said, it was like an epic entrance, and Rock's was just cool because he had the flame bombable.
Yeah,
but then I would definitely put. I did enjoy Seth. I thought it was a cool way to incorporate, you know, a local tradition, whether you like it or not, you know. I mean, it's better than him wearing, like, you know, Eagles green like half the other roster did. You know what I mean?
Like you know, Rey Mysterio having the actual Eagles logos all over him.
Yeah, it's a good, nice originality there, Rey.
but kind of sort of.
He's just wrestling like an Eagles jersey.
Right.
But it was like I told Dean, it's like he had the Eagles logo all over him, but he kind of looked like Hawkman. Then I was like, does Ray think that an eagle and a hawk are the same bird?
Yes, no, probably.
I think he was trying to look like Swoop.
Yes. It
didn't work. He should have came out dressed as Swoop if he was going to do that.
He didn't have a beak.
And then Ace Ventura would have came out and beat the shit out of him.
All right, so we're going to wrap it up.
20 grand, Polly.
I'm gonna wrap it up. My laptop battery's done. I can't find my charger cord. So guys, what would you give
your place where you could buy one?
Yeah, I know, right? Guys, night one, what did you guys give it out of a 10?
I gave it a 7.
Okay.
I gave it a 7.5.
Okay. I will stick with my 6. Night two, what did you guys give?
10.
10.
It was perfect. I agree.
It was perfect.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah. Like, excuse me. I was telling this when we reviewed it last night. It didn't happen when I was watching it with George, but when I rewatched the main event yesterday, and like when Cena came out and Rock came out and Taker came out and Cody wins and stuff like that, I actually got a little choked up because I was like, it was just an epic way to end the night. And I was like, this is wrestling. Like it was like, it felt like, you know, I made the analogy on Sunday when George and I went and got some food. I said, I feel like night one was Infinity War and night two is Endgame. And that's how I felt. It was like it took everything in the whole world.
That's what IGN said.
Yeah, they stole that from me because I definitely said it. I definitely said that to him before IGN said that. Or it's because my mind just thinks in comic books.
Probably.
But it took, like, you know, Cena and Taker and Cody and Jay to take down Roman Reigns. Like he is really kind of like the Thanos
of, I agree,
of the WWE, especially when he wears the gold glove, because he took that, he said he, that gold, he wore that gold glove because he was inspired by Thanos. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I agree. So yeah, I mean, and I just want to say one last thing, you know, thank you to The Rock, man. Like, you don't need any of this. You just don't. You don't ever need it again. It was so clear that he clearly does. He cares about this. He loves pro wrestling, because you don't do all of that. You don't build two rings at one house, have another ring built in Hawaii. You don't do a training camp when you're a billionaire to do a wrestling weekend. Like, he just loves this so much, because he just poured everything into it. He basically, everything he said was right. He made wrestling cool again since he came back. We can even say he helped initiate the Attitude Era. He very much initiated us into this Renaissance era. He walked us into it. And I thank him for that. And I'm really happy when he said multiple times, like, this is just the beginning. Like what he said on Raw, like his story with Cody Rhodes is just beginning. I hope The Rock comes back more often. I like that they do it sparingly, because Rock and doses will be perfect.
Yes,
I don't need him 6 months out of the year. I need him, you know, maybe three months or three. Yeah.
Well, you can give me 6 months out of the year, but like if you do like Rumble the Mania and then come back like SummerSlam to Survivor Series, and then you take like December off and come, you know, and maybe some most of January. That's like perfect. And I do think the rumors are, and I know it was started by Dave Meltzer, but I have a feeling that they might legitimately be thinking Cody Rock for 41.
I think that's probably the working plan.
Yeah, I would assume. I doubt you're gonna get, because now that Cena has talked about that his next run is probably his last. I doubt you're going to get Rock and Cena retiring at the same night, and potentially Rey Mysterio too.
Yeah,
because he's legitimately talking about hanging it up. Mm-hmm. So I doubt you'd see those three guys all retire on one weekend. And Rock ain't going out in Minnesota, baby. He's got, like I told you guys, he's going out in Vegas. He loves Elvis. He's dressing like Elvis. He's going out as Elvis.
He's going to retire in Vegas, and then he's going to set up a residency, and then he's just going to do matches at the MGM Grand for the next 5 years.
So good. All right, guys, I really want to thank you for joining me tonight. Just a quick reminder to everybody, our next show, we're going to be doing a two-parter of the top 20 wrestlers of all time, to basically shove it up the ass of Bleacher Report and IGN.
and this is not our favorites list. These are the people that we think are actually the greatest of all time.
Correct.
Because if we're doing a favorites list, 1 through 10 on Dean's list is going to be Tom Zenk.
And number 11 will be Rick D'Amato Martel. So then we're going to do Unforgiven. You should. Unforgiven, In Your House, 1998. And then in May, top five greatest factions ever. I can't wait for that. No Mercy, 99, Backlash, 03, and Extreme Rules, 2014. We're excited of what's to come. Thank you to these two for coming on. Again, wherever you guys listen to podcasts, head over there and listen to the Multiverse Movie Podcast. These two do a phenomenal job. It's just what the content that they put out is tremendous. So head over to wherever you listen to podcasts and give them a listen, subscribe to their shows on Apple, Spotify. And if while you're there, follow the Hot Tag Wrestling Podcast as well. I'm Chris C. Francisco. That's George Rogers and Dean Holzapfel. And we'll catch you guys down the road. Have a great one, everybody. Bye-bye.